Now, our relationship experts are in studio. Alison Keating, psychologist, good afternoon.
Hello.
Psychoanalyst Ray O'Neill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for coming in. And we've got three good ones today, interesting ones. So we'll go to the first one. Ray, Alison, is it all right for my husband to have a female friend? He works with this friend. He meets her for breakfast, lunch and goes out at night too. Always texting on the phone. He's now meeting her without telling me. Saying he's going somewhere else with someone else. Tells me I'm making something out of nothing. He's putting the guilt back on me now. He's angry that I've called him out on it. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Please help. Ray.
You know, the opening question, is it all right for my husband to have a female friend? I was kind of course it is. And then I read the rest of it and I was like, this isn't about having a female friend. This is about your husband lying to you. Lying undermines every relationship. It is not okay to lie in a relationship because once you erode the trust, you erode the relationship.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right. So what does she do?
Just to reconfigure it, the argument shouldn't be about having a female friend or not having a female friend. The argument needs to be, why are you not telling me the truth? Lying is a loaded word and people always react to it. But just like, why are you not able to tell me the full truth? What's going on? What's happened to us?
Mm. Yeah. Alison.
Like Ray, first line, you know, is it okay to have a female friend? I'd say yes. Third line, I'm saying no. Okay,
so he meets for breakfast, lunch, and goes out at night too.
Always texting on the phone, yeah. Saying he's going somewhere else.
Yes.
The one that's really shouting out, like there's hiding going on here, and that's why they're not saying, and that's why they're, you know, and I do like not telling someone is lying. I think sometimes people get stuck on that sometimes. And the fact that he's putting the anger back on her is actually a very bad sign because sometimes, you know, if you're engaging in kind of extramarital affair or something, it seemingly, specifically with men, they say that men turn and will pick the fight with the woman and saying, I can't believe you're saying this to me.
Yes.
And it's like a defensive move, but you'd nearly need to stand back and go, ooh, oh dear.
As in attack is the best form of defence.
Yes. And the atmosphere is so tense that actually even holding those secrets, even making sure you don't trip up or say, because it's so, you know, oh, well, I was actually here today. Oh, were you? Like, how does she know he's telling the lies? She also knows he's not going to the place that he's saying he's going to. So has he tripped himself up? Which, when you're lying, you're going to trip yourself up.
Say, for example, I suppose I'm looking for a definition of infidelity here.
Right.
You know, like, where does it start and where does it end and when do you cross the line?
Well, I think it's specific for
Let's park the line for a moment.
Yeah.
But when do you park the line from having a platonic relationship with somebody at work of the opposite sex to being unfaithful? Whether emotionally or even if nothing has happened.
Once something becomes secret, then we're already in a problem.
Oh, we are.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not that we, everyone's entitled to private lives. We all have private spaces within ourselves, within our relationships. But when you are concealing something, you actually are drawing more attention to it.
Mm.
It's the present that's wrapped at Christmas that's going to get the most attention, not the unwrapped present.
Yeah.
Hiding something draws attention to something.
And if he was listening, what advice would you give to him?
You're about to lose your relationship, so please talk to your wife.
Yeah.
And of course,
they
don't see each other in the same way as he sees his wife, you know, because there are none of the things that go with mortgages, who's putting out the rubbish, who emptied the dishwasher, all of those things. It's all very clean and showered, if you like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, so that's, he doesn't see that.
No.
No. So he just... Alison, would you tell this lady what she should do then?
Just be straight. Just say, I know you're lying to me. I feel very uncomfortable. I don't feel like you're present here anymore. Even when you're here on the couch, you're texting.
Yeah.
I think you're texting her. I'm really uncomfortable with this and actually, this is not okay.
Okay. And I hope it works out for you. Now, our eldest sister is great at organisation and has naturally taken that role a lot over the years. Now, though our parents are both having different health issues, she wants to make all the decisions around their care and even wants to be the only one to sit with the doctor on discussions and keeps information from the rest of us. Have you any advice on how to deal with this? She is brilliant and I think it comes from a good place, but we don't always agree with her choices and would like more input. Alison.
So... It's like this sister recognised that this is coming from a good place. However, it is controlling. And maybe it's controlling because the other sister's trying to do what she feels is best. But this is a decision that the other siblings need to be part of. So at a basic level, they could kind of meet up after they've gone to the doctor, because you can't have all the siblings at the doctor's meetings.
And there has to be a named person.
There does, absolutely. Yes.
There's only one person, that's the way it works. Yeah.
And then like meet up afterwards and then have a conversation together, or set up a little WhatsApp group just for the siblings to deal with mom and dad's care, and have a discussion with it. And you come in with a nice tone that's here. It's like, look, we're all really concerned about mom and dad, but I'd love to chat through some of these things because these are big decisions and we all want to have an input into the care.
I think the standout sentence there is "she is brilliant," and I think it comes from a great place.
Yeah.
I think if that's the way you approach this is going to be a very, very different conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm presuming there's multiple siblings from our eldest sister. Talk to your other siblings just to make sure everyone's on the same page, because some people might be like, oh, I'm thrilled Joanne's doing that, I'm really busy. So you might be having your experience, but it might not be shared with the siblings. If it is shared with the siblings, then approach the eldest sister and just say, look, this is probably the most vulnerable time of mum and dad's lives. We just want to be part of it.
Yes.
We only have a few, whatever, years or a decade or whatever it might be. Please, can we be... Obviously, you make the decisions. But can we be included in the decisions, like we're saying? And most obvious thing is like recording what a consultant or a GP says with their consent. Because we can't hear everything in the emotionality.
Would they allow you to do that?
If with their consent, yes, absolutely.
You only hear 20% of what happens in those type of consultations.
Right.
An uncle of mine told me that, and he's a consultant. He said, you know, it actually is a good idea to bring a recorder in, because things even get misconstrued, and in the emotion at the moment, and you're only listening for the bad. Actually having that is a really good idea.
And it's a difficult time for families when parents are reaching, you know, when you realise that your parents aren't going to be around forever. That's a difficult time. It brings a load of emotional baggage, and some people react differently than others, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on their relationship with their parents.
Yeah. And I suppose we haven't asked what the parents think. We don't know what level of, you know, difficulties going on for them, but are they part of this as well?
Yeah.
So sitting down together as a family with the parents would again just
not always
empower
possible.
Everyone.
Yeah,
because
I was saying we don't know. Sure.
Geographical considerations as well, you know.
Yeah.
And then when people are making phone calls, that's difficult as well, and they're getting half the information, and it's a difficult time. So,
but the tone is one of people want to work through this.
Want to work it. So tread carefully. Okay. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm wondering how to cause the least pain in ending a friendship with someone I've known for about 5 years. Some fundamental moral issues that I can't align with have increasingly come up, and this person also seems to attract a lot of chaos, which is just too much drama than I am comfortable with. I bear them no ill will, but do not want to continue the friendship. We will see each other in passing almost every day, so I'm nervous about the tension this could cause. Is there any way to do this in a kind but direct way? I don't think letting it fizzle out is an option. Ray.
The words kind and direct very rarely go in a sentence together in a positive way. You know, we say cruel to be kind and stuff like that. You know, I'm blunt with the intention of being kind. So I don't know if you're going to get the optimum situation here. But the most important thing is to step back, even for a short time. And even saying to your friend, whatever, look, actually, I have a lot going on for me at the moment. I can't really get into it. Or there's something going on at home. Or there's
a lie.
Just step back.
That's a lie.
A white lie.
Yeah.
We're allowed these in Catholic Ireland. You have to get a papal dispensation, but they work.
Yeah.
It's just about protecting yourself. And I think what you want to do is interrupt the everydayness and the so-called normalcy of it. And perhaps they will move on to somebody else. I wouldn't recommend having a direct conversation with this person.
You don't recommend that?
I just, you know, there's a lot of little things in that sentence that I don't like.
Yeah, some fundamental moral issues that I can't align with. So they've obviously witnessed this person involved in behaviour that they don't agree with.
Yeah.
Maybe infidelity or something like that. I'm just surmising here.
So that person's going to feel judged if you confront them on that. I just think it's not about letting it fizz away. Just step back for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And see where you are and where ye are.
5 years, is that a long time in a friendship?
Depends on the intensity. Like you in 5 years in an adult friendship, I think you can be pretty genuinely solid friends.
Yes, yes.
I also am considering the kind but direct, and wondering is there some way? Because I think when people And I know you're not saying to ghost, and I think that's a good strategy to give some space.
And a reason for the space.
And that's a reason for the space, I think.
It's not the truth, but yeah, that's the reason. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose the question is, can this person take direct feedback? I think adult friendships are exceptionally complicated, and actually they can be a really fundamental part of your life. And this person genuinely doesn't want to hurt this person's feelings, but wants to extricate themselves from it. So I agree with Ray. I'd take a bit of a step back. And if they asked, I think I would actually be honest.
Right.
And say,
There are some fundamental moral issues that I wouldn't say can't that. Align with.
Yeah, I would not say that. I would say, you know, something that's never talked about in friendships is that we as people change.
Yes.
And I feel things have changed for us in this friendship so that it's more universal. There's no finger pointing, but that you're also saying, like, and it's something that's completely not spoken about in friendships because people do actually change.
Mm.
And I'm assuming this. Well, we don't know if it's.
But they're going. You see, they're going to question that, aren't they? We've about a half a minute now. They're going to say why?
That's why I think Alison's suggestion is spot on. I'd suggest writing it or sending it by email.
Okay.
That way, the person has to sit with the questions themselves, and you're not in the firing line.
Okay.
Because this doesn't sound like someone who's going to listen to you. But yes. They may read.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. That's always a good, writing it down is always a good idea, isn't
even
it?
Even for you yourself, yeah, whether you send it or
yes,
not.
To
and go in with the intention that you know you're not trying to hurt this person's feelings, but you are also allowed to have your own boundaries.
Yeah, but you need to get out of it
yes.
as well. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You can't
get into
them.
No.
They're pleading. No, okay, right. Hopefully that works out. Okay, Ray, thanks very much. Alison, thank you. That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time on his own. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.